Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives available for free. Simply go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column and our entire catalog is easily accessible by month and year. Go listen to great conversations with such bands as Quiet Company, Moving Panoramas, Dana Falconberry, Sweet Spirit, and literally hundreds more. Just go to howdidigethere.podbean.com and start listening. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. I have a great show for you guys today. Calliope Musicals is back. They're a band from right here in Austin, Texas. They have an album coming out this Friday, April 15th. It's called Time Owes You Nothing. And also on Friday, April 15th, they are doing a very special record release party at Central Presbyterian Church right here in Austin, Texas. This Friday, April 15th, go to calliopemusicals.com and find out how you can get tickets to the show. They're a fantastic band. If you do not live in Austin, they are coming to the Midwest and doing shows with the great Shaky Graves this May. So go to calliopemusicals.com, find out how you can pick up this beautiful album, Time Owes You Nothing, and find out if they're coming to a town near you. We have a great conversation, another great conversation. Those guys are crazy. They're zany. If you saw the picture on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, you see how kooky they are. If you didn't listen to the first episode, we had a great conversation. Zany, it goes a lot of places, we have a lot of laughs, and we talk about how they maintain themselves as a band, okay? So stick around for that. Calliope Musicals, amazing band, Time Owes You Nothing, comes out this Friday, April 15th, okay? Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. Went to Houston this weekend, started doing this sort of like going to Houston every weekend with Skyrocket, which is great. I'm not complaining at all. But every year there's these seasonal times where for a month we go to Houston every weekend and play. And last weekend we played two private events. They were great. The first one was a thing for Little League. That's right, Westview Little League. We played that. That was a lot of fun. And I ended up cutting my finger that night carrying my gear out, which was a drag, but I made it through. My finger's doing okay. You might have seen the photo on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, you can follow me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Okay. Hey, and then the next night we played for this this foundation called the Chance for Hope Foundation, which is amazingly beautiful foundation, started by this couple who lost a child to cancer, and so they started this foundation where they buy apartments so that families can stay for free. And without any kind of hassle, while their child is at MD Anderson in Austin. So that was a pretty great thing. And let me tell you something, that was a costume party. It was a Studio 54 themed party. And those people were in costumes and they were ready to dance. There's something that happens to people when they get in costumes. They can get freaky, man, from the get-go, because they're not being themselves. They're in a different, they're being a different person, and they're going to a place, and luckily these people were getting zany and crazy just to raise money for this beautiful cause, for these wonderful people who started it. And let me tell you something, those guys were probably one of the best audiences we've had in a long, long time, man. So kudos to you guys that all came out to support a Chance for Hope Foundation. Those David and Angela, beautiful people, wonderful people. So we had a great time. All right, long weekend. Then it got crazier that night. Like, I ended up running into a friend of mine that I grew up with. I went to the bar of the hotel to have a drink, saw this dude that I hadn't seen in years, Don Gutierrez. I've known him since I was like 14. We ended up hanging out. And then I'm talking to him and all of his friends, and this girl tells me that I remind her of a musician she knows named Brian Keeling. Just totally random. This lady's from Tampa. Brian Keeling was the drummer of Mr. Rocket Baby. Of course I know that guy. He was a drummer in my band. We're great friends. So we texted. It was all hilarious. We called him, and we all laughed. It was great. Great night that night, hanging out afterwards with my friend Don and his lovely wife and the folks from Tampa and all over the United States in the hotel bar. It's really nice. Hotel bars are really cool. I enjoy an after show hotel bar hang, you know? All right, let's talk to Calliope Musicals. Their new album, Time Owes You Nothing, comes out this Friday, April 15th. And also, if you live in Austin, they are doing a very special record release party at Central Presbyterian Church on Friday, April 15th. If you do not live in Austin, or if you want to find out how to get tickets to the Central Presbyterian Church show this Friday, go to CallioPeMusicals.com, all right? I hope you guys all have a great week. I will see you on Friday with the fabulous band, The Accidentals from Michigan, all right? Let's talk to Calliope Musicals. Great band. You guys have a great week. Let's get down.
Jealous over the there. Random,
yeah.
That was cool.
Okay, so
does this mean we get free Schlotzkies?
We did get free Schlotzkies.
Is that
wait,
that's what you
sandwich platter?
In lieu of a record contract.
Yeah.
Your experience by with South by Southwest entitles you well. Not to six free Schlotzkies, but four.
But like a few free Schlotzkies.
That is really the best that we can hope for.
And divide amongst yourselves.
And five free wings from Pluckers.
That's the same deal Columbia offered us last week.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this record deal,
or I know you're really hungry. How about this BLT? And I was like, oh, they got me.
The BLT.
Sorry, guys. We lost the next 4 years of our lives.
That's
with
the
BLT.
Second time that's happened. That I'm chosen sorry. The wrong thing. Of lesser value.
One time, Chris went to, we were at this hotel, and he went inside to check in.
This happened multiple times.
And they offered him either a free tiny bottle of champagne or a free pizza.
Which one should we have taken?
It was not a tiny bottle. They were equal in value. No.
How tiny was the bottle?
The bottle of champagne was out. It was not a normal.
It was like two glasses of champagne.
Okay, look, a pizza would have gotten you guys each a slice. But that little bottle, I would have kept myself and just been like, sorry, guys.
What's going on towards John?
We just wanted the pizza. We wanted the pizza.
Well, Chris got drunk and we all went hungry.
Yeah.
How much pizza did you eat this week?
What were you
going
to get if I hadn't gotten
not
it?
Enough
nothing.
To be.
You would have had
we should let the listeners know that this conversation is actually happening the day that like the Monday after South by Southwest at 11 in the morning.
If I hadn't gone
obviously this was booked in early February when people didn't have any idea what was going to be happening this morning.
What's up?
You all do look incredibly fresh though for people. You guys played two shows a day.
Yes. Yep.
When? What? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Thursday?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday,
Friday,
Saturday.
Not Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Two.
How
day.
Does your voice hold up?
yeah. So really well.
It was
really well.
It was really good until Saturday. Yeah, I feel Saturday like you tough. Could hear it really going on Saturday.
Yeah.
She did.
But
great.
It was cool because the part that I was having trouble singing. People in the audience sang, and that was like the most heartwarming,
slash
awesome thing ever.
Too.
That's what I.
Well, yeah, y'all help too. But y'all always. Yeah. That's not unique or special.
There's only five other people over here. I talked to a friend of mine, and I can't remember what day it was, but we were talking, and she said she had gone to see a band play at the showcase and was going to leave afterwards, and then you guys started, and she stayed, and she asked me, oh, "Have you guys ever heard of Calliope Musicals?" And then last night, I interviewed this guy, a friend of mine, Billy Harvey, at this show series called Soul of a Musician.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys have just booked to play that.
Right. I'm so excited about that.
That's a cool show.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. So how was your South by Southwest?
Awesome. This is my favorite one yet.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
Well,
it's
you guys, you guys have an album that you made yourselves. Right? That you're putting out yourselves.
Yes, we're putting out.
We put it out.
On April 15th.
Yeah.
It's called Time Owes You Nothing. Congratulations. The songs that I've heard from it are incredible. I saw USA Today premiered one of the tunes.
Yeah.
Getting some love out there. So when you went into South by Southwest, what were you guys looking to gain? Like, exposure to press for the album? Maybe do you have a booking agent? Do you have a manager? Are you looking for all? You were looking for all
we
that
have
stuff.
A manager. We have a booking agent. So we had all those things. I think personally, I was excited to see, like, now that we have all those things and we have an album that's about to come out and we've been like really putting ourselves out there as much as we like physically and mentally can, what was that going to do for our South By experience? And it was really, really beautiful to see like the community come out and support us and our fans. Because normally during South By, an Austin fan's just running around and they'll catch you if they can, but you know, it's not their priority. And we had so many people that we love that come to our shows that were like, I'm going to be at all 10 of your shows. And they were.
It was yeah, that's cool.
Very lucky.
It was unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have gotten a really solid fan base. Do you feel like there's like you're stepping into the release of this album like on good footing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seems
like you got a big head of steam going into it now, and I feel like South By really kind of like, you know, at first I was like, 10 shows, that's a lot, but it ended up being really worth it. Almost all 10 of those shows.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have picked one to not play. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting because I don't think that the general public knows that really the best, South by Southwest does the best, like it's the most useful to an artist when you have some stuff going on, you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden, really, like, the world in our business comes to our town
for a week,
which is fucking awesome,
right?
It is.
It's crazy.
And you can kind of get out there, and if you do it right and you time it right, like you guys obviously have, you can get out there and sort of set yourself up for what the next step's going to do, as opposed to expecting some end-all, be-all out of South by Southwest.
Sure.
It's just a huge step you can take. Mm-hmm. You know?
One massive staging ground.
One thing I wasn't expecting at all that I really didn't know existed that Chris discovered is that, like, the convention center's, like, full of people who want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And, like, mentor you. They have these mentoring sessions with all these super important grown-ups from various parts of the music industry, and they just like they have to be there, so they want to like talk to people.
Did you get to?
I got to do a little bit. Chris did a lot.
Yeah, I was looking for the bathroom at the convention center, and I asked Leigh if I use the bathroom, and she's like, "No, but you could talk to the head A&R of Columbia Records." And I was like, "Oh, well, maybe I'll hold it and do that."
Sounds good.
And so then, like, you know, like 45 minutes later, I talked to all these really incredibly talented people and got to meet Christian Frasco, who's the manager of Pearl Jam, one of my favorite bands. And that was really, just got to, you know, I was supposed to be there to ask him questions about how can I, you know, make my band, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
but I was just like, what's it like to manage a band like that? And it was really great.
It's pretty cool. I had no idea
really
that was a thing.
Coolest thing.
Yeah.
Found all week.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of cards? Okay, let's get into the logistics of this, and then we'll talk about your album. But like, I did the last South by Southwest that I played a lot of shows. I just paid a guy to like help me.
That's awesome.
And that went from the one show I was telling my girlfriend the other day. I did 7 shows in a day. Like,
oh my God.
5 shows with bands, and then 2 like acoustic songwriter shows.
That's awesome.
And I had a dude, and I will be honest, the 7th show was fucking terrible.
Yeah, by that time.
Yeah, because I had like a 3-hour break at a bar.
Oh. We talked about this last time.
Maybe. Yeah. It's just not good. No. It doesn't bode well for Johnny. Especially back whenever that was. Like, I think it was like 4 years ago. Anyway, so did you feel like you could get it up for every show?
Well, you know, I thought the last show was going to be so hard. Because
especially is the way the previous show.
Yeah, our next last show.
All our
like,
instruments didn't really get
Craig's
enough,
keys power went out. So there's no keys happening the whole first half of the show. Then by the time we got that fixed, Matt's guitar cable had broken, and so there's no guitar in the last half of the show. And
what did you
the
have?
The sound was crazy, and so we were like terrified. And my voice was already like froggy sounding.
Right.
And then we got to the last show, and it was a beautiful, I actually was like super mad props to the stage crew at that show. It was amazing.
Where was that one?
It was at Bar 96. It was official showcase. And the stage was awesome. The lighting was awesome. The sound was awesome. They had this crew of people. Like, we pull up, like, at 7:15 probably, and on our show was at 8
on Rainy Street.
It was crazy, and they were just like,
right. So here's my question. Sorry, before I went off on that 7 thing, and then asked you, did you have help?
We have the best friends in the world.
Yeah, we have really
friends who are helping us later. Now.
Someone out there get like passing out something to people, because that's always the thing when you get to play all those shows, you want to make sure that you don't lose anyone.
Right.
That is the hard thing, is you get off stage and you're like, okay, we have like 15 minutes to get out of here. Like, who am I going to hug? Who am I going to say hi to before I get out of here?
We also have our publicist, Lauren.
Who can help me the most? Yeah. I'm just joking.
Our publicist, Lauren, helps us out quite a bit. And so she'll be out talking to people and, you know, trying to do the rounds and meeting the people that she needs to meet that we
but need to also meet. Yeah. Carrying our stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was like her, our friend Jerry, who's Confetti Cat.
And there's Jerry.
That's cocky. And then our friend Ernest, who does a lot of the confetti, actually sang with us on a couple songs on the last show. They were all just like all hands on deck. Yeah. And then Lauren's parents, our publicist's parents, also came. And so they were like, they were carrying so much gear.
I was like, need some muscle? Need some muscle?
Maybe I should just be nicer, and then maybe people would do stuff for me for free. I don't have to pay some dude.
I do want to say that 9th show that was like kind of a literal technical disaster was probably my favorite show of the week, because I got to see this band like really come alive and be like, okay, when nothing works on stage, what do we do? And like, mm-hmm. Matt puts his guitar down, grabs the mic, and just really goes at it with vocals, and like, I'll play somebody else's part, and Craig keeps it totally cool even though nothing he's doing is working, and just figures it out while we're playing an acoustic song.
It was pretty crazy.
It was really cool to see everybody just like step up to the plate. Yeah,
yeah.
We're just like, we could have just been like, nothing's working, guys, sorry, show's over. But like, I've seen a band do that in my backyard, actually.
I wonder if that would have gone differently if that was our first show of South by Southwest. Because then we're like, oh my god, this is not good.
Right. Well, there was a moment where Taylor looks at me, she's like, should we just go get all the acoustic stuff out of the car? And I'm like, that'd be really cool.
Actually, that did occur.
And next time, maybe we'll do that. But I also think that went great, too.
Yeah. It was fun. And people were just so nice. Like, everyone in the audience was just like,
nobody noticed. Which really means that I guess, like, I should just
I'll see you guys. Bye. Well, we have a really big rule of never. If someone's like, great show, we have a rule amongst the band. It's like, we've learned that it's just very insulting if someone's like, I love your art. You're like, well, our art sucked today.
Well, that was bad.
And that was one of the shows that was really hard for me. Someone came up like, man, that was just so awesome. And for me not to be like, well, come back and see it next time, because there'll be twice as many instruments.
Thank
you. That really made me happy to see people's reaction after the show. Because I wasn't ever going to let on that something was going wrong. As soon as they were like, I looked out in the audience the entire time, and everybody's having a great time.
I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Fake guitar for like 3 songs.
Yeah. I was playing my part.
I saw you were playing, and I was like, I don't hear anything coming out.
Well, it's weird, you know, like, to put your guitar down when you're so used to having a guitar for every show prior to that for 7 years straight, and then to put the guitar down and then just grab a mic, and you're just like, okay.
See, I'm always like, what do I do with the hand that's not holding the mic?
I feel like Will Ferrell.
There you go.
What do I do with my hand?
Yeah, exactly.
Matt just put in his pants like the whole.
Yeah,
like,
he's just.
Come on, man.
Don't do that.
I used to be a hip hop artist.
I heard Jay-Z talk on Fresh Air years ago when his book came out. Terry Gross asked him why he holds his junk. When he's out there, and he said he thinks that there's you got nothing when you're out there, and you're totally exposed.
Interesting.
So you cover your nuts.
Like you're naked.
It was kind of a weird answer.
That's a cool explanation. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Time Owes You Nothing. Out April 15th.
Yeah.
And where'd you do it? Here in Austin?
We talked about this before.
Yeah. In LA. Yeah.
Yeah, we were in LA.
Okay, so you had done this album last time you were here.
Yes.
Right, okay.
This is not newer than last time.
And you did it at the
Fairfax Studios, Sound City Studios.
Right, Sound City.
Yeah. It was epic. It was so fun.
So now you did a Pledge Music campaign. What were some of the incentives? Like, people now?
That was the biggie.
Well, yeah, my car is up for grabs if anyone's looking for
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
It.
It would be fully decorated and painted on the inside and decorated on the outside.
Do you ever see the art car things in Houston?
Yeah. Love them. Yeah. I think that's kind of what we were thinking.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Someone just purchased, I think might be the second house party that we
have. Yeah, we
have. We Calliope plays a house party. That was one of the pledges, and I think we got our second pledge for that.
I'm excited.
Awesome. So we owe someone a house party.
That's good.
We want to owe everyone in the city a house party. Yeah. Just
please.
Out there.
Dude, I bet you guys would be badass at a house party.
We like to rage.
We had some fun ones.
What are you doing in this apartment tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
South by Showcase. It's Johnny's house.
How sturdy is the flooring in here?
The locals local.
I think it's kind of sturdy. It gets weird in the hallway. But
we can make a check.
There have been
some. We'll set up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I've got instruments. I'll move this table. Perfect. You guys can just set up like this in this line facing this way.
Yeah.
I'll move the couch. Okay, so it's finally coming. When were you guys here? Like October?
I was trying to remember
November, it wasn't that long ago.
November.
It was only like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago.
Okay.
It was very recent.
So in those 3 months, you finished your pledge campaign? Or it's still going?
The pledge campaign is still happening.
How long does it go till?
Until the album's
out. It's like a pre-order, so.
Okay.
It's not until really the album's out. It's like order our vinyl, like,
order, you know.
And you're getting vinyls coming?
Yeah, they came in the other day.
What happened?
No, they were talking over each other, and I was just...
Oh, yeah.
It's
great for the audience.
Yeah. Josh's dad.
Hey, some of them are fun.
We did just get our vinyl in. I want to bring you a vinyl.
You did?
I didn't, but I'm
you didn't.
Going
you
to.
Never bring me anything,
know,
and then you promise me you're going
to
bring me stuff, and you never bring me stuff.
We did bring you a vinyl.
We're getting sucked.
We did bring you a vinyl.
That was a test to see what your reaction would be.
Okay, good. All right, good. No. I was like, man, have you guys on more than any other band ever? No, I'm just joking.
You brought nothing.
Nothing.
So what do you have planned for the release?
Let's talk about that. Central Presbyterian Church. We are performing the album there. We have dancers coming.
What Presbyterian Church?
Central Presbyterian.
Okay.
7th Street.
Yeah, 7th and
8th. Well, either, the whole point in doing it there was so that we could march afterwards. The plan is to have a really big night where it's not just a show. We're going to release the album at the Central Presbyterian Church and play it from start to finish with... We're going to have a small group of friends on strings with a cello and a violin and some friends doing backup singing for us. And then at the end of the performance, a marching band's going to come in and we're all going to march together from the Central Presbyterian Church down to Cheer Up Charlie's where the party continues with a bunch of our favorite bands.
It'll be fun.
So it's going to be really
that
fun.
That is fucking rad.
Yeah,
it's going to be really fun. I'm excited.
It's gonna be, I'm like,
what made you choose the Central Presbyterian Church as a venue?
Cheer Ups from there.
Well,
no, it was last year, right?
Edward Sharp.
Yeah.
Chris,
I didn't get to go.
Chris
Craig was
saw
there.
Edward Sharp and Magnetic Zeros at that location, and I think it spawned this idea of, for us being a band that throws this party on stage all the time, we want to perform something that's like very, I don't know, you said the sound in the room.
Music.
Yeah, it's all about the music. Yeah.
There's moments
like,
where
we want to play this so perfectly that you can sit and watch and just be like taken aback by the music itself without like, you know, us doing backflips on stage and all that kind of stuff.
Which we do.
Lots.
And then also you can walk to Cheer Up Charlie's from there.
You know, like a rock and roll show is like really, really loud. And even a CD release is like at the Parish. It's like, it's awesome, but it's in your face. And when I saw Edward Sharp release their album, I'm like, we've never done this before, but we're going to play our album from start to finish. Everything exactly like on the record. And it's going to be at a really normal level and you can hear it. And there's going to be parts where we're just going to step away from our mics and walk out and you guys and just sing a cappella, like acoustic. And we're inside of a church and everyone's being quiet and everyone's going to hear it. You know, 400 people and this guy's playing an acoustic guitar and there's six voices and you hear it. And it totally blew my mind.
Wow.
I wanted to try.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
But then we have
and that is on April 15th as well? Okay.
Yeah. And then we have a bunch of our friends are playing Cheer Up Charlie's. It's Riders Against the Storm.
Love those guys.
Hikes, Tenor Rose, Trouble in the Streets,
Zeta
Jewel.
Patch just confirmed not 7 minutes ago.
Sphinx, yes. So I know you're
Sphinx.
Big
Sphinx. Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's always, they're always good for a party.
Oh, they're awesome.
Guys.
I love Sphinx.
I was trying to find a way to have them play at my birthday.
Oh.
Ooh, shout out
they're
to
a good
birthday
band. Come play his birthday.
Have you ever tried headbanging like them?
No. That's awesome. No.
You mean having their hair? Yeah.
No, those guys. I got decades on those guys, man. If I do that shit, I won't be able to turn to the I won't be able to look over my right shoulder for like 2 months.
That's how I feel now, man.
So yeah, I just try
rattle,
to
rattle your brain around a little bit.
A little much. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. Okay, so so then what happens after the release? Are you planning?
Does anything happen after
within 6 hours?
You can't hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
We just sit back and count the dollars coming in.
Well, actually, right after we released the album, so we released it April 15th, and then April 16th, we drive to play Easter Island Music Festival. So we'll play this at the church, probably run back to the church and clean up all of our mess at like 3 in the morning, pack up the car, and then drive like what, 12 hours for our set the next morning?
Where is
six
that?
Or 8 hours.
Oh, wow, that's way better than I thought.
Where is that?
I think it's in Norman.
It's in Oklahoma.
Oh, great.
It's in a somewhere field in Oklahoma. Oklahoma. It's supposed to be really, really fancy.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Any other, are you travel plans?
Yeah.
Release plans?
We're playing Electric Forest, which we're really excited about.
Nice.
That's up in Michigan. And then we're opening for Shaky Graves on some dates.
Nice.
Up in the Northwest, like Boise, Jackson Hole, and Washington.
Going back to Oklahoma for Backwoods.
Yeah.
Lots of Oklahoma.
Hullabaloo Fest.
Hullabaloo.
Oh, yeah. Hoping we get up to Canada again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Evolve Festival up in Canada. Festival. We did that last year, and it was out in Nova Scotia.
In Tigginish. Sure.
And it was
Did you guys get nominated for a Black Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am so blown away by that. Yeah. I'm so excited. And I think I've been following their organization since they started, and I think
it's not been long.
They're doing the coolest thing. It's so cool.
2 or 3 years.
It's only been a couple
this
years.
This is their third year.
Their third year. Yeah, yeah. I remember when they came in here when they announced the first nominees, and I didn't. It was just weird. I remember. I mean, I still have their brochure there because I wasn't sure what they did.
It's amazing.
But now I know.
Yeah. It's really cool to have locals create such a cool support network for musicians and for people that I feel like they see are really trying and really getting out there and really pushing. And it's a little bit of a...
Yeah, talk about some great mentors, too, on that thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
I'm excited about that. I told them we're going to bug the hell out of them. They're going to be like, get away.
So what, I mean, do you guys, I know that when you're about to release an album, there's really not much other things than the release of the album, promoting the album, and doing all that stuff. But do you know what you would do when the time comes in December and you get that money?
Make another album
for sure.
Where are you at with that? Do you have new songs?
Yeah, we have
you guys
new
have
songs
had a few months
in, and
okay,
it, you know, I think a lot of the songs on this album we've been playing since we got this lineup as a band, so I think everybody's really itching to be focused on new material because we've been doing this material for a while. So
have you been writing the new, how does that come about? Is it through a jam you guys do, or does someone come in with an idea?
A lot of everything. Yeah.
Everything?
Sometimes we'll get set up to run our set, and someone starts playing something, and then 30 minutes later, we've recorded some weird jam that we just did and go back to it later. But yeah, some of it's been playing. It'll be like, on Tuesday, let's just focus on new stuff.
Okay.
And we'll see what we can pump out.
We try to stay organized, which is tough with the six of us.
Yeah.
It always comes from an idea, though. Like, sometimes it comes from a jam, but it never comes like, okay, I have all these parts. Like, you play exactly this, you play exactly that. It's like, Carrie's like, I have this song. We're like, what is it? And she just, like, sings a melody, and we come in around her. Or Craig's like, I have this great keyboard part. I think this could turn into a song. And he's like, I have ideas for vocals behind it and all this. Let's see what we do. And it's cool. It's just kind of like an idea machine. People just throw it into a pile.
We get a lot of inspiration off of being on the road and being in different places and pulling from that, meeting new people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, we've been like, I really want to work on Girl with Saturn for Head, which is this like miniature rock opera that I've been thinking about for
3 or 4 years.
And then now the band's been working on it, and it's really fun. I really want to record that, so... That's
would
on
you
my
would you you would record it, but wouldn't
do.
You would you perform it too? Would you
oh,
have an
yeah,
act
totally.
Like would there be acting
yeah.
as
totally.
Well?
I have like this guy has made this big helmet that like has rings around it and like you can see through it. It's pretty cool.
I think we actually have performed it once or twice and then shelved it again.
Oh, we played that. Oh, that was awful.
It was awesome.
We were in Montreal and Chris made us play Girl with Saturn for Head.
It wasn't quite ready yet.
I might have cried.
What's it called? A girl with Saturn for a Head?
I threw that out of my...
Yeah,
I totally forgot.
That night made us the band we are today. Okay?
Well, it's a super conceptual song and it's almost like... Bohemian Rhapsody, where it's just part after part, I mean, just it was this huge long thing, and
that's not something
not quite fine.
Not something
yet.
You can just whip out at a drunk house party.
Well, you know,
I like how we just whipped out the Queen reference. We're like, yeah, it's kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, it's just
in that it's just like
a big song.
It
will someday be recognized
awesome.
As one of the greatest songs ever written.
Yeah. But it's like that, but it's better.
You know, I'm in a band that we learned it and we did it at New Year's not this last year, but the year before.
Bohemian?
Those vocals, man.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, those vocals. Everything. Also, like when you're playing electric guitar on that song, you literally stand there and do nothing for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you come in with the world's greatest guitar. He's really good.
I didn't get to play the solo. I just was like, and there was a part where I harmonized into anyway,
that run that he does.
Yeah. That, listen to this though. Those guys didn't fucking play that song live. Like they did.
I believe it.
There was a recording and like a video, and then when the rock part came out, they jumped.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Like
and
a lot
funny.
Of delay, kind of like the guitarist for David Bowie did, like with the whole Flippertronics thing, where he would use like perfectly timed delay to get all those harmonies stacked in the solo. So he'd do a run of the solo and then stack the delays until he had.
You mean
that,
like Mick Ronson?
Yes. I don't know Mick Ronson.
The guy from Bowie? Or are you talking about Reeves Cabrels?
I just know that David Bowie's guitarist started all of that with like this thing called Flippertronics. I didn't know what his name was. But
Maybe it is Reeves Cabrels. He is a little more technical and alive. He's also a lot more alive than Mick Ronson.
Because we covered fashion. I had to look into it really.
That's Carlos Alomar.
Okay.
That's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh.
J.D. Smith?
Robert Fripp or Adrian
That's
Ballou.
It, the Fripp one, because it's called Frippertronics.
I knew there was like a rhythm guy who's Carlos Alomar, and then I knew he collaborated with a prog guy, because that's that.
It's so crazy.
Exactly.
This fucking song's
awesome. We were covering that for a while.
Really?
Right before he passed away.
It was very odd.
It was crazy.
We covered it, and we played it on his birthday. It was during Free Week, and we played it on his birthday.
Jesus.
He dropped Black Star that day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he died 3 days later, and I think we tried to play it one more time, and we were kind of like, let's hold off on this. It just felt weird.
Yeah.
It felt weird to do it right after he died.
For a while, we had a thing going on where every week someone chooses a cover just for the band to learn.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just to kind of like, you know, stretch out our abilities.
Yeah.
And Matt chose Fashion, and we all like loved it so much that we started playing it. But then, as Josh said, it was like the timing was so radical that we were like, okay, I think we did it. We're gonna shelf it.
Yeah, that one bummed me. Like that one really
it hurt.
That was rough.
Hard.
That was like, oh,
that's, yeah. Not a lot of people that I don't know do that to me.
That's my
yeah.
It wasn't like tragic in the traditional sense of like losing a musician like that, because I do feel like he got to like live such an incredibly vibrant and full life. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm sure he died with zero regrets, but it was like, wow, we just lost one of like the world's best songwriters. That's insane.
Oh yeah. And not just one of the world's best songs, like one of the world's best artists.
Right.
Performers.
Period. One of the world's best artists, one of the world's best creators of things that were not there before they thought of them.
Cool.
Like really, and also an inspiration, like as you get older, you realize that guy got older too and never... He never went back and redid Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders. He never went back and redid anything.
Right.
Just kept
he just
Even
kept
fresh.
Moving forward. And yeah, that's like that Bruce Sudano guy was like that the other day. There's very few people like that. Like, how do you end up like that and not like Rod Stewart? Like, the American Songbook,
so
Volume 5.
Oh, yeah. So many paths.
let's find out, because I definitely don't want
to. Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough. There's a, we have, I mean, there's some guys here that are cool. Like, I mean, especially like guys like Alejandro Escovedo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's a guy that I always am like, what are you doing? Because you're still a guy that's doing, and he works with Tony Visconti, which is super cool. Really? Do you guys get to see him speak?
No.
It was really hard to see things that we wanted to see that weren't like directly next to what we had to do.
I was talking with you about this earlier, but we just had so many shows that it was after showtime and in between showtime, there wasn't much room to breathe.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did you guys see anything weird? I know when I came home from my gig in Pflugerville on Friday, the freeway was completely closed on one side because a guy got hit. On the freeway, which makes me think there was a guy walking on the freeway.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
I've seen that people do that before. I'm just like,
oh, it's so crazy. See
weird stuff.
Yeah, just like weird stuff. Like,
well, before South by, we were in Lano at the world's largest rock stacking competition,
which was awesome.
Which was amazing.
Were you guys headlining that one?
Yeah, we did actually. We really did, joke boy. It was epic. It was the most like hippy-dippy sounding thing we could have been doing at that moment, but it was,
we're super into it.
I mean, these people are truly like stacking rocks in a miraculous way. We're just like, how are...
Do you guys have photos like on your, can people go to your Instagram and see that?
Yeah, there's some pictures on our Instagram. Yeah, we'll post that right
now. Did I ask you guys before how you handle this? Like, how do you divide up social media, or do you... So one person to have to do everything and resent everyone else.
No, just text message Harry, hey, post this.
Everyone just is like, bitch, post on Facebook. So I'm not very, we're not very great at it. It's easier on tour because you're like always in a new place. Everything's interesting. But like I'm really bad at it when we're in Austin. South by was obviously an exception because we have a lot going on. But like, usually social media.
I find myself doing that stuff now. Like, there have been times where I've met with people. Like, people have set me up and you go and you meet with, like, a social media consultant and they kind of tell you all this stuff. And then sometimes you're like, someone's just stupid.
Yeah.
And some of it is like, I don't care how many, like, likes are on a picture. And if I post... this person in the picture, then I'll get more likes if I tag him on this
point,
and you're just like that's a fucking, I'm
Facebook
47.
Facebook has gotten out of control, and Facebook now, if you're listening, Facebook, I got something to say.
Mark Zuckerberg listens to every episode of this show.
I'm so tired of, you know, I mean, we use Facebook, and I think most fans use Facebook and social media as a way to let people know you have shows, let people
know
you have something going on.
And it's free.
And it's crazy. Yeah. Well, it was free, but now you have to, like, we'll post something and it'll be like 85 people saw your post. And it's like we have 5,000 fans on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why are 85 people seeing this? And then they make you boost it. So you boost it.
Right.
And then it, like, I don't know. It's hard to watch. It's hard to keep being involved with it because I know that everyone uses it, so we keep using it, but it's like so frustrating.
It's a game, and
it's
a game. And
on Facebook's part, they know what they're doing.
And it sucks because they're not making money off of bands, because like Lady Gaga doesn't necessarily need people to see her Facebook post. She's got so many fans. She posts something, it automatically gets seen. But like Facebook is kind of shafting the
little
smaller
guy,
bands.
I can't think of all the little
who
bands.
Who actually count on Facebook to get
to
word
spread
out
the word
about their shows
and
what they have going on. So it's really frustrating to watch. But they're definitely making money off of people who don't have
the money to be throwing around.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Have you guys ever done that? I've done that for a couple of episodes.
Oh yeah,
we've boosted
a lot of posts.
You have to. They'll like contact me like you have.
You need
to boost
the posts. Yeah.
Some of them have really helped out. I've gotten.
If it's right
and they let you kind of really zero in on, you can almost find like the 15
fans.
People that you totally want to see the post. Yeah,
but it's not like it's being. Usually, when you pay for advertising, you're finding new fans, you're finding new people that whatever you're like you have are like they're seeing, and with with Facebook, you're paying for the people that have already signed up to see your stuff to see it. It's like they're already signed up to do this. They already want to see what you have, so you pay for your own fans to see your stuff.
It's also their friends that it goes out to, because I have gotten sponsored ads from bands that I do not follow.
Yeah, me too.
But there's
too.
A way to set the boosting so it just goes to your own fans, which is what we usually do when we just have a show. Yeah. And so we're literally paying like Facebook $20 just for our 5,000 fans that are already on our mailing list and that are already signed up to follow us on Facebook to see what they already signed up to see.
That's so crazy.
It's kind of backwards.
But we're just like complaining right now. So.
Bring it on, Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. Get on.
Bring it on.
We can continue this conversation in private.
One of my best friends is so prolific. A few of them, but one of them in particular, like that guy doesn't do a thing. Like, not a thing, and it's not like I'm walking to my car kind of shit. It's like he really does do a lot of shit. Like, he's producing all day, then he goes out and plays shows, then he goes and hangs out with this guy, and whatever. And but he's so diligent and good about posting it all. But then I just wonder sometimes, like, you know, like, I'll do all the same shit with him in a day.
Yeah.
And
there's no
I didn't
evidence.
Post anything, no.
Yeah. We have some friends like that, too, and it's crazy to watch people do that, like, just catalog their lives online. And
some people make fun of people like that. I don't think so. I just think, like, you naturally have a proclivity to do certain things. And when you're like, it's not like they're full of themselves or like, hey, look at me, but they're like, it's weird because it's a fine line because he's genuinely just like, hey, I did this. Isn't that cool?
Those are cool
but like, it's an innocent and sweet thing. It's not like, hey, I'm fucking cooler than you.
Totally. Speaking of fucking cooler than you.
Speaking of cooler than me.
It's tough. Social media is a weird thing.
It
it's
is a weird
awesome,
thing.
But cool. We've gotten a lot of, I think it's helped us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I truly can't imagine what it must have been like to be in a band before social media was a thing.
Listen, man.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of stuff that, I mean, I started in my first bands in 1983. And so, like, you go through these things where you're like, man, you couldn't find the chords to a song that you needed to learn in 5 minutes off of your phone. And, I mean, mailing lists, like the physical mailing list used to be a day. Me and my guitar player from this band I was in, it was a day. And at the end of our band, we did very well, but it cost us $1,200 to do our mailing list every month.
That's crazy.
And it wasn't, I mean, it was like go to Kinko's, print out the things, slice them, you know, individually, me and this dude, and then go to the fucking mail place.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
We just don't know about
the
that.
Mail place. The post office.
Yeah. The place.
Yeah, we just sent out, 250 CDs to record company or radio stations around the country.
Yeah.
And
probably the biggest mailing we've ever had.
Yeah. Yep. But there were six of us, and so it took like an hour of, you know, stripping. You have to take the cellophane off of the CD because some radio companies will get it in the mail.
Throw it out
because it's covered. Like, I don't want to open that. I don't want to do the extra work there. So, yeah.
How do you
I
guys,
have a special message for those people.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
I mean, some free child labor from Paul's kids, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Our managers.
Endorse child labor.
Crazy. Yeah.
did you guys have like a radio person? Or are you just doing it yourself? Radio
yeah,
person?
No, we have a radio person who...
We're looking at... You probably get some...
We just met him. Just this mm-hmm. South.
Yeah?
You guys meet him?
Yeah.
Face to face.
Yeah. Southpaw's fun. You need to meet all these people face to face. I love it.
Yeah, it is cool. And you know what's cool is I bet all those boosts from the like USA Today and stuff like that kind of helps get you in. Like when they get the CD, they're like, oh, Calliope Musicals.
Yeah.
Those guys were, what's going on with these guys?
Name somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, they're sweeping the nation. So. Everyone's
Ooh,
talking
whoa.
About it.
I hope so.
Outside of all the festivals and your big release show on April 15th for your new album, Time Owes You Nothing, do you have any things you're looking forward to in the summer?
The show dates and at the end of May with Shaky Graves are going to be. We're really excited
it's
about
be
that.
Fun.
We're so really looking forward to that.
You're going
to
be in Seattle and Portland and stuff.
Yeah. Idaho and
we'll be
Spokane, Washington. Yeah.
Seattle, you know. Portland, and Idaho.
Some of the extra things we get to do with the Pledge release, we're really really excited about. One of the things we're doing with the Pledge campaign is a delivery option where for an extra, like, I don't know what it is, small chunk of change, we will deliver the album to your front door, and we will play a couple of songs for you, and I'm really, really excited to see who wants us to do that for
you. Oh, really? How much is that?
They doing that?
It's like $50.
And we as the band will be driving around Austin on a specific day in our Sprinter, and we're going to have all that, whatever you bought, it's all going to be big piles, and we're going to bring it to you and just play you a small little private set on your porch. Yeah. And I am really, really excited to do
Seems
that.
Seems like it'll be fun.
To. That's awesome. And you know what's cool? It's cool to hear that you're excited to do that, because if someone told me that I had to do that when I put out my album, I would be fucking mad. it's good that you have that kind of attitude. No, but there's people that have that, and people will appreciate it, you know?
We have really cool friends and fans, too. Yeah. And so it gives us a great excuse to get some, like, one-on-one, like, chill time with
Yeah. Do you guys know this guy, David Garza?
Yes. I know David Garza.
Okay. He's
a long time. I saw him a long time ago at the Cactus Cafe, like a long, like when I was in school back in like the late, you know, 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's that kind of dude. He's the kind of dude that like plays a 2-hour show, then walks outside and there's like three people wanting him to sign something, and someone asks him to do a thing, and he will play for another hour outside in the parking lot.
That's so cool.
And like, yeah. He's playing every Wednesday right now at the gallery.
Really?
Cool. Yeah. Like cool. That. It's really worth seeing. It's pretty unbelievable. Yeah.
I'll have to go see that.
Yeah.
I love seeing shows there. It's one of my favorite rooms in Austin.
Yeah. Me too. Dude, you guys would be fucking badass in there. That's a house party.
It would be really cool.
You know what I mean? Because it's almost like the ups. Oh, you got to go.
No, let's
go
this one.
Oh, it's the coolest, man. It's got so much vibe. And he would love you guys. You should bring him a CD.
Okay. Cool. I'll be there.
You totally should.
I'm going.
I might be there late Wednesday. I'm going to go to the Mohawk and see my friend Jeremy play.
Awesome.
Cool.
But then I might go to David afterwards. Anyway, all right, Time Owes You Nothing, out April 15th. You guys can find Calliope Musicals, their dates, how to get their albums. You can go listen to the SoundCloud stuff, all by going to calliopemusical.com.
Thanks.
What else? Anything?
I don't think so.
I bet there's something.
I love coming here and talking to you.
I love you guys coming
so
here and talking.
Let's.
I like it. It's a
good conversation. Next time,
it is a good conversation.
Yeah,
well, we should
breakfast.
Keep it. We'll make it a series.
Let's yeah.
Awesome. We should do one Every one Monday time morning. In your Sprinter. I'll bring one of my handheld things and we'll do one
Ooh,
in the Sprinter.
Yeah.
Driving around that day.
Yeah, would you like to come with us when we go deliver stuff?
No, he's just going to get pissed.
Oh, no, because I wouldn't have to do anything.
Sling open the door and Johnny's like,
so much.
Where's your
Why are you guys
shit?
Doing this?
Well, I just remember when Kickstarter first started and seeing people's incentives, and I remember somebody was like, and I'll come and I'll clean your house. And stuff, and
Whoa.
I was like, what the fuck have we been reduced to?
A part of that's what's inspired us to do this. Like, I know Carrie read Amanda Palmer's book, The Art of Asking,
right?
And told me to read it,
and that's the million dollar
of course,
Kickstarter
yeah.
thing.
Her, like,
yeah, yeah,
attitude totally changed my view on all of it. When she was just like, I get to like just have these, like, she calls them ninja gigs, and she'll just like play shows in towns and invite anybody, any artist, like a juggler or a tuba player to come play with her. And does all these secret shows, and she talked in the book about how she spent like 6 months preparing all of her Kickstarter packages, and how it like was insanely like hard, but was really just so rewarding to be able to give all these weird little things to people.
And she focused on connecting with people in an artistic way. I mean, definitely the like, we'll clean your house thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Calliope has definitely considered starting a like odd jobs crew.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like, I'm trying to make an album. If you give me $100, I'll clean your house. It's just kind of like, what? Wait, come on, man.
Like, you already did the work. Like, you, yeah, exactly.
We'll sing show tunes.
And then I also don't understand these things. Why will someone give you $50 to make your album, but they won't fucking buy it when it comes out? Like, that's the disconnect to me. That's like, no, dude, no, it's great. Crowdfunding is great, but...
You just buy our well,
that's exactly
I just spent
what
10
had.
Bucks. Save yourself $40 and just buy it when it comes out.
Yeah.
That's
Crazy.
Why I went with Pledge, because it's not a fundraiser. It's asking
right.
people to participate in a pre-order.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In okay.
a really unique way.
So it's a little... All right.
So we can give them weird packages, but it's like we're giving you something. There's not just like give us money to make it.
We're doing a coloring book. I'm really excited about the coloring book. That's something I forgot to mention. Chris kind of headed it up. We got like all these awesome local artists to draw
things.
Oh, no shit. Based on the songs. They each like had a song assigned to them.
That is
and
awesome.
And they
That's
did
really
drawings
cool.
based on the song. I'm yeah. just so excited.
It'll come
about
in a special
that.
Edition jacket of the vinyl, so there'll be 12 by 12 inch like drawings in there. So you'll open up a vinyl, and instead of getting a vinyl in there, it'll be the 14 pages of the album that you can color. And
that is rad, dude. Cover. Well, I'm glad that you guys are doing these unique things, and, yeah. and you're a great band, and I'm glad that there's a lot of excitement going on. Going into this record, Time Owes You Nothing, available Friday, April 15th, right? It's Friday,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
And then
record
that night,
day and
tax day. Do your
it's
taxes.
Record Store Day on Friday,
or maybe Saturday. Or
the,
yeah,
Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, go to Record Store Day. Celebrate yeah. by going to your local record store and picking up Calliope Musical's "Time Owes You Nothing." Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.
Ah, yes, I love those guys. Calliope Musicals, their album, Time Owes You Nothing, comes out this Friday, April 15th. Also this Friday, April 15th, if you live in Austin, they are doing a very special record release party at Central Presbyterian Church right here in Austin, Texas. If you do not live in Austin, Texas, you might be able to catch them at one of their Midwest shows with Shaky Graves in May. Just go to calliopemusicals.com, find out how to get Time Owes You Nothing, find out when they're coming to a town near you, and check them out, all right? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with them. I did. I really like those guys. I wish them all the luck in the world with their new album. Time Owes You Nothing, all right? Hey, while you're out there checking out Calliope Musicals on the interwebs, do not forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on Stitcher and just stream it, Stitcher Smart Radio. Check it out in your app store. Free app. Get it down, 30,000 shows on that app, including this one, and you can just stream it. But check it out. Also, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Get over there, like it. You will see a photograph of me in the very silly Calliope Musicals. I love those guys, man. Check it out. Here comes another song from their new album, Time Owes You Nothing. This song is called Sink or Swim. Check them out on Friday, April 15th. Their album comes out, and also their show at Central Presbyterian Church right here in Austin, Texas. All right, CalliopeMusicals.com. Thanks for coming by, guys. Thank you for listening to the show. Have a great week. Let's get down.
Solid ground.